I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to the Blizzard Watch podcast, where we talk about Blizzard Entertainment and Diablo 4 and nothing else. No, I'm kidding. We'll be talking about their other games as well. I'm Matt. I am the host of the show, and with me are my two fantastic co-hosts, Liz Harper, the EIC of the site, and Joe Perez, the everything, the heart, the Mati of the site. You know, and I liked Mati. I'm sorry, man. I think people are really mean to Mati, and I don't like it.
I got nothing else to say. I don't know how to follow that up.
Yeah, it's hard to follow me because, as Liz pointed out, the past week has just been like a brain melting amount of Diablo. Like, seriously, a lot of this game has been played by us. The point where Blizzard emailed me and was like, "Thank you for saving Sanctuary," and I was like, "Yeah, you're welcome, my friend."
Also, so much so that I actually think I'm going to start having a Diablo 2 problem where I think I might have to replace my mouse. I haven't had to do that since Diablo 2. Directly from playing the game.
So much clicking.
Yeah.
So much clicking.
So much clicking.
See, I haven't had to click at all because I just embrace controllers. I'm like, nope. I literally have my Xbox controller plugged into my computer, and that's how I've been playing it.
I may actually wind up switching to that.
It
plays really well with it.
Oh, yeah, it plays really well. I'm sure there are reasons why, you know, some people probably get more out of the keyboard because you can do more stuff. There's less buttons on this thing. I gotcha. But it's really, Diablo is one of those games, and Diablo 4 has no exception to this, where you don't have so many things to push that you need more than, like, say, 6 or 7 buttons. So for me, it's great.
Diablo 4 plays great on consoles. Diablo 3 played great on consoles before that. Diablo 2 Resurrected plays pretty well on consoles.
It really does.
I think some of the interface things in Diablo 4 are a little... Diablo 2
you know,
are a little weird on console,
but
it's still smooth.
Speaking of UI, and this is a question that I'm going to ask before we get into the new stuff, because we have a lot of it. I really like how the controller UI looks, or at least the one on consoles. Does it shift on PC when you do the controller? Because I would love to have that be the default setup for how things are.
Can you look at the screen right now, because I'm live streaming?
Yeah.
All right now it's keyboard. You can see that?
Yeah. For those of you at home, it is currently in the standard layout where everything is just in one bar. And then as a controller is plugged into it, it has not shifted over to the compact one that we've seen screenshots of. Instead, it is the same with the buttons replaced.
That answers your question.
That's sad. I wonder if there's... because I couldn't find an option. Blizzard, if you're listening to this, give me an option so I can have the compact UI from consoles on PC.
I'm going to break your heart here. I played this throughout the early access on my PC and my Xbox. Not a different UI.
No! Okay, well.
Yeah. Sorry. I actually don't take any pleasure in breaking Joe's heart, but nonetheless, here we are.
Yeah, it's okay.
We should get to talking about other stuff, because Liz pointed out we need to talk about things other than Diablo 4.
Unfortunately.
Well, the first thing we can do is we can talk about some World of Warcraft stuff.
I guess if we have to.
First up, Dragonflight's getting the Revival Catalyst on June 13th, which I believe is next week. It would be next Wednesday or next Tuesday?
That's Tuesday. It'll get it with a weekly reset. And actually, there was a bug today where it was briefly available after reset, except it wasn't working and it was asking for some weird thing that doesn't exist. And
give us your blood.
Soon it's coming.
Once we get it to stop asking for people's blood, it'll be right back. But in addition to that, that's starting on June 13th. Right now,
should we jump in and actually say what the Revival Catalyst is for people who do not know or are not familiar?
We should never tell them anything. Just let them figure it out through content. No, the Revival Catalyst, if you guys remember it from season one of Dragonflight, it's the means by which you can take pieces of gear that dropped in raids or mythic dungeons, except it's more than that now, right? The Revival Catalyst has more stuff?
I think so. I think you can do World Quest gear in it now.
World Quest just gear that's available from this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has to be season 2 gear.
You can take all that to the Revival Catalyst, and you can convert it to your tier set.
Yep.
Which is nice, because for one thing, it makes it easier for you to get your tier bonuses, which is something people were very much complaining about before the arrival of the Revival Catalyst's ancestor, the one from the end of Shadowlands. And it also, it allows you to get non-set pieces that look the same, that match the set.
Yes.
So if you bring in like boots or a belt and convert it, it won't change the stats, but it will make it look like your tier set. So you no more, I have my tier set, but I can't get a belt that matches it. You can get a belt that matches it.
Excellent.
So I'm absolutely on board with this. I love this. It's one of my favorite things in the entire world, as far as like what they've added to the game. My only question is, why did we have to wait so long? Like, I don't understand the delay. And this has been a joke in Guild for a little bit, but did they say why they were making us ever wait till the 13th of June? Because I can't think it's anything to do with the Race to World First, because that's over now. And I mean,
that was over a long time ago.
This is well beyond that. And I can't imagine that it's what other incentive it is for it. But I mean, I just kind of feel like it should have been a week ago.
I feel like there's the same question with LFR. Why is LFR so spaced out? Because today we got Wing 3 of Abyrus LFR was released, but it's like, this is so long. This is over a month since Abyrus released for everyone else.
And we're going to wait another 2 weeks before you get the end, the last wing.
Yeah, before you can go kill Sarkreth on LFR, it's another 2 weeks from now. So it's why these artificial delays, and they're always artificial delays that punish casual players. They make it harder for casual players to get gear, to participate in current content. I don't understand it. I don't understand the logic behind it, because Blizzard has been making the game more accessible to more groups of players. And even the gearing system right now, the crafting system, anyone can go craft things, just put it in order. World Quest gear is scaling and of higher quality, and you can upgrade it. You can upgrade all of your gear without entering a single Mythic Plus dungeon and grinding out Valor. This game right now is more accessible to the casual player than it's ever been. Except we still have these strange artificial limits where you still can't play LFR to the end. You still can't upgrade to tier gear and collect those sets that all of your friends doing normals, heroics, are maybe already have their sets. So it's an odd roadblock.
And speaking of roadblocks, and this is another thing, speaking of LFR, not to go too far off in the weeds, but Toha in chat brought it up, and this is something that's been on my complain list for a little bit. I don't know why LFR is not still on personal loot, but the regular raids have been. I like where the regular raids are. When you're in a guild group, it makes sense to have people rolling on stuff and then being able to move stuff around. I don't know why LFR didn't stay with personal loot, because I don't know about you. I run LFR. I've been chasing tier and I've been chasing trinkets, because there are two very specific trinkets that are like S tier for my class and spec. But what winds up happening is you can still roll on it, and then people try to sell it. They try to sell it and trade it in that LFR. They're like, I was complaining about this today. The Neltharian class call trinket dropped. I rolled a 5. Dude rolled 100. Dude was selling it for like, he was like 400,000 gold. And like, this is what's happening. Whereas if it was personal loot, wouldn't have cared. Whatever, I would have just moved on with my life. But the fact that I lost the role to some dude who's just going to sell it, and I'm generalizing dude here, I apologize. But like, it just irritates me. I don't know why that decision was made not to make LFR stay with personal loot while moving the other ones. Seems another strange choice that I'd love to know the thought process behind.
I mean, I understand why they did it for normal and heroic and mythic. You know, they're bringing in more options but it does not work for disorganized groups, for a group that is not a guild group where you go in, you're all friends, you're all trying to help one another gear up, you enjoy playing together, and you're not going to have hard feelings because someone else got a great piece of gear. At least I hope not, because I got my S-tier trinket in raid last night.
We cheered you on. We absolutely cheered you on. I passed on it so that you could have an even chance at it. Right?
Ah, so good. And yeah, and then we went and wiped on.
That's a whole other story.
Boss. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it does not work in LFR, where you have people who don't know each other. Everyone is rolling need on everything because, hey, they could get loot, and it's not like it has any consequences if they get loot. And just as Herb said, they're going to sell it. If they don't sell it in raid, they're just going to vendor it if they can't use it. And it's ridiculous. It just makes it harder and less pleasant to play.
Yeah, I don't like, these are things that I would love to. Dragonflight has done a lot of things right, and I want to make sure that like we say that, because I feel like this has been a very fun, very overall positive experience of an expansion, at least for me. I just wish there was some maybe community hall discussion around some of these points, and maybe some information or clarification. Like, even if there was just a blue post explaining the thought process on some of this stuff, I would probably be better about this. But there's just nothing. There's just literally nothing. And I'm not the only one complaining about these things. I know I'm not. Because I see this
World of Warcraft. Of course you're not.
But I also see the forum posts with like, not just people saying, oh, pitchforks, but people saying, hey, you know, why was this done? Is there a reason these things are happening? So yeah, I just hope it's not going to backlash and be like, fine, we tried this experiment. Now it's back to personal loot for everything. But yeah.
I also wonder if part of that is they just want the gear system to match. If they feel like it would be too confusing to have a unique gear system for LFR, even though it would be a lot less annoying.
I don't understand how it would be confusing, though. Loot shows up in your bags or it doesn't. Move on with your life. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me oversimplifying it, but you could be right.
So yeah. They did have some things to talk about, didn't they? I've been doing transmogging this whole time. So you guys are going, I'm like, yeah, I'll just transmog.
I mean, I have the stream up on my monitor, so I'm keeping an eye out. I'm watching transmog looks flash by.
Well, in addition to that, there is some other stuff going on in World of Warcraft. This one is kind of Diablo related. I'm apologizing for that, but I can't help it. Until I believe next week, because we just covered that's when June 13th is, the Agreedy Emissary event is still happening in World of Warcraft, which is their Diablo 4 kind of like, look, it's a treasure goblin and you can get some Diablo themed stuff. At this point, I kind of feel like it doesn't need to be there anymore because quite frankly, I'm not going to get to do it because I'm over here now, where I now live in my demon haunted world. But nevertheless, it's still going on until next week. So if you're trying to get Tyrael's Charger, remember the mount that you got for getting Diablo 3 all way back in the day?
Way back when?
Yeah, that's available through this and there's other stuff too. Have either of you done it? Because I'll be up front. I've not been logging into World of Warcraft lately.
I have done it, but I did it before Diablo 4 released because now all I do in my free time is play Diablo 4 and I log out of Diablo 4 to raid with my Warcraft guild and I complain about how I could be playing Diablo 4 if they didn't make me stay here and continue to wipe on this dumb RNG boss that's...
We're on the Vigilant Steward, by the way, folks, for those of you at home. And that is a fight that, yeah. We're going to complain about that at some point.
so much fire in so many random locations that kill us all every time. where was I? Treasure goblins.
Yeah, I haven't done treasure any treasure goblins and, either.
I mean, I did maybe a half dozen of them, and I got my pet, and I got the bag, and I'm like, okay, I don't feel like I need to do this anymore. It is kind of, it's fun, but it doesn't feel like an event that you need to constantly do because it will make you crazy because there is just a huge crowd of people sitting on top of the spot where the treasure goblin is going to spawn. It is super laggy. The treasure goblin is running around with a huge crowd of players, and you can't even see it. And I mean, it's cool, but also I am personally, I'm done with it.
Yeah. I cannot say I blame you. It was something that I don't think I did much of before because I didn't feel like it needed it. And yeah, I'm still kind of confused as to why it's still there, but it's still there till next week if you're trying to get something.
I mean, I think it's good that it's, you know, not an event that lasted like a weekend or, you know, a week because, you know, not everyone gets to play all the time. Not everyone has time to play every day. People can be out of town or on summer vacation and they come back and it's a bummer that they never got to kill a treasure goblin. So I think this, it's been about 2 weeks for this event and I think that's pretty good length.
Well, it'll be three when next week when it's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's it. Which lets everyone. Yeah, it lets everyone who would want to participate and want to get the rewards. It gives everyone a chance to jump in and do it.
Yep. Meanwhile, I just found my first treasure goblin in Diablo 4 right before the podcast.
Oh, man.
So many.
I had the worst yet best experience of finding one in Skosmon. Oh, no. Sorry. We'll talk about it later.
I pulled so much stuff. Anyway,
Wrath Classic is currently in the middle of its Joyous Journeys event, which is going to end on the 19th because their Phase 3 Trial of the Crusader and other content is dropping on the 20th. So that's where Wrath Classic is in terms of its rollout of content, which means they did give Old War a good solid run. Yeah. Old War came out in January.
Mm-hmm.
They basically ran Old War for 6 months, which is, I think, 3 months longer than they ran it when it went live the first time. So that's pretty cool. Old War got to be the, I can't use that word because there's an old saying my grandfather used to say all the time that it's basically the male chicken of the walk. And I can't say it because it sounds like a euphemism for a male body part. So yeah, there you go. Just had that happen. But yeah, I'm actually interested to see how Phase 3 rolls out and how it lasts. If they're going to do, how long are they going to keep Phase 3 around? Like, is it going to be Trial of the Crusader for 6 months? I don't know if anybody wants Trial of the Crusader for 6 months. I know I didn't. Not that it was bad, but they haven't announced anything yet on how they're going to make it so you don't end up having to run it 4 times a week. And that's something that I really need to hear before I can be on board with Trial of the Crusader.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing that thing where they're rolling out new Titan Rune dungeons and, you know, upgrading gear, kind of a level up for everything like they did before.
Yeah. And yeah, they're doing that. That's all really cool. Like they'll have Old War 10 man gear will be on the Titan Rune dungeons and so forth. The ones, you know, for this season, there's a lot of really cool stuff. I want to know stuff like, are we going to see players basically going 10 man normal, 10 man heroic, 25 man normal, 25 man heroic, or are they going to make it so you can't do that? Like the lockouts are more exclusive. So if you run it like once on 10, then you can't just go run it on 25 or what have you. That's something I want to know about, and I haven't heard anything about it. But in general, I mean, I thought Trial was good. It's just that the lack of trash made it so you just kind of feel like you're burning through the place. I don't know why that is. I thought for years that I would love a trashless raid, and then I got one and I didn't like it.
Yeah, that is definitely a case of we asked for it, we begged for it, and then we got it, and it was like a finger on the monkey's paw curled. Because like it was, I think that is the most universally, as far as I am aware of, like panned raid that has existed. Like the fights were fine-ish. The PvP fight was weird. But like the lack of downtime with trash between bosses really just, I don't know, it changed the entire vibe of it. So I don't know about like you, Matt, but I know like for us, the trash between is like, I don't want to say the cooldown for us, but
it's a goof off mode. It's when you tell jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
If you wipe on a pull of trash, everybody makes fun of you. and it's great. I mean, that's something that I didn't even realize. And then we got to Trial of Crusader, and it's just literally there's no period of giddy relief after you kill the boss and
exactly. divide the loot,
because you have to immediately go right back into here comes the next boss, and especially when you're doing progression on it, because I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in at least in Wrath times, the way that racials worked was completely different. And one of the racials that made or broke that heroic 25 man trial, especially the Anubarak fight, was being a Night Elf warrior, because you had the quickness thing gave you dodge. Just it gave it to you. You just had extra dodge. You had like I think 1% more dodge, maybe 2%. And because of that, you could push crushing blows right off the table entirely. Like, you would not get crushed by Anubarak. Only Night Elves could do this. Night Elf Druids and Night Elf Warriors. And we didn't have a Druid tank, and I don't know why that is. Like, I don't know what was going on there that we couldn't get ourselves a Night Elf tank, a Night Elf Druid tank, but we couldn't. Like, we just did not have one. We had one because he was the guild leader, but he didn't want to tank that fight. He was like, I ain't tanking Anubarak. I'm like, okay. So I had to change my character to a Night Elf and tank that way. And there was such a stressful feeling because you never had a cooldown. Mm-hmm. There was never a period of time where you could just relax. It was always, okay, we got the two sisters up next. We got to fight them. Okay, they're going to drop the floor out. Everybody get ready. I'm going to tell him and he's going to drop the floor. And it was like, oh my God. Can we have 5 minutes of trash? I mean, I'm actually missing it. I miss dying to like a bunch of Murlocs. So yeah, I still have a little bit of a flashback to it every time I think about it. But yeah, nevertheless, that's Wrath Classic is going to be up to trial. We'll see how long it takes them. Apparently phase four is going to be Ice Crown, and then they're bringing in Ruby Sanctum as phase five.
I always liked Ruby Sanctum.
I just think it's interesting that they're bringing in Ruby Sanctum as its own phase. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ruby Sanctum, good raid, but it's a two boss fight, isn't it?
I think it's like three, but wasn't it released as its own thing before?
It was released as its own thing, but it wasn't released like when you do it as a phase in Wrath Classic. There's nothing else that gets introduced but this raid. You know what I'm saying? Like it just feels odd to me. But you know, clearly you guys don't feel that way, right?
Maybe they're doing it this way because they can continue that stair stepping they've been doing, where, you know, each new phase, you know, the 10 man gear from the last raid becomes the 25 man gear from the last raid, and they're just kind of stair stepping up. So you can kind of participate in any content in Wrath Classic and still get pretty good gear. It's like none of the old stuff becomes completely outdated and you're never going to run it again because something new comes out. And putting out Ruby Sanctum as its own tier means you can do that. Means, you know, the gear, the stuff you're running, the stuff you're advancing through, you're going to keep getting new good gear from it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But let's see, anything else? That's it for Wrath Classic. I mean, that's it for World of Warcraft, really. I couldn't find anything on Hearthstone. I apologize, guys. I looked. But we should probably talk about the Summer Games Fest that's going to be in 2 days as we're recording this. So it'll be yesterday as you're listening to it recorded. The Summer Games Fest is starting. It's going to be 3 p.m. EST. And that's when it starts. And it goes on for like, I don't know, like 5 days, it looked like, maybe more.
It's a few days long. But also, it's kind of like that main... It's like that main event that most people are tuning in for that's going to have all of the big game developers and trailers and et cetera, et cetera. And in the pre-show, we were actually talking about Dragon Age 4 a little, and it's like, are we going to see another teaser for Dragon Age 4 that provides probably absolutely no information?
I'll put money on it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
if we can possibly do it, we will. Some of us look forward to, like, you know, various things they do there, like speed runs and so forth. I like watching speed runs. I've never actually done one because, you know, I'm not that kind of person.
I did one once.
And?
Oh my God, my hands hurt so bad after it. Like,
yeah,
I was doing like a Kaizo speed run, and like, mad respect, like, I love speedruns. So this is going to be a random aside, and I'm sorry. But there's a couple streamers that I watch, and we just got games done quick, summer edition. And there's one person that I watch their YouTube channel, and he did a couple runs for a few Kaizo games for the SNES ROM hacks that existed that were really, really hard. And he was explaining why in his streams he shows his hand cam, because he wants people to see like the weird hand positions each game tends to require, and why, like, how there is a difference between like people that develop these type of games for speedrunning, because some of them understand this and they give you quote unquote, and I'm air quoting here, easy sections or cooldown sections so that your hands can have a break. And then there's ones that just don't. And then at the end of it, like your hands are just like on fire. And that was my experience with it. But I love watching people speed run various stuff. I also really love watching people break games.
Oh, there was one of those with a Doom Eternal.
Tears of the Kingdom.
They had the Doom Eternal guys sitting there, watch the developers.
Yeah.
Sitting there, watch this dude break the game. And they were like, oh my God, I can't believe that's there.
Yeah. Or the one guy that was like, I thought I patched that. I very clearly closed that ticket before it was done. Well, or like Tears of the Kingdom is now one of those games where like is the Zelda Breath of the Wild you could beat in like a half hour if you did it going straight to the castle.
Yeah, you can go straight to the castle.
Tears of the Kingdom made it a little bit different where you can't go directly to the end boss except if you glitch and do a bunch of very specific things. You can beat the game in under an hour now. I've been watching speedruns of it. It is crazy.
Oh boy.
Do they have to fly there from someplace else? They have to like make a flying thing and then drop the one they're flying and fly another one.
Yeah. There's some stuff using like the zone icon constructs, but it's also, using game memory. So one of the, again, I'm sorry, real random aside, but this is just fascinating to me. Old games, you used to be able to do like memory buffering, and it's still done in a lot of games now where like, you could like get the menu to stay open, or you could create enough duplicates of an item to overload the game's programmed RAM limitations to cause it to do things it's not supposed to do. You can do that in Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, where you can actually make yourself hold like an infinite number of like sticks with a diamond on them, for example. And then when you go into combat to go fight a Lionel, you one-shot it. Like, you literally just stab it once and it falls over. But that also buffs the memory enough that it can force you to ignore collision and fall through the world, because the world is, in a lot of ways, it's like Diablo in World of Warcraft, where it's like persistent, but it has layers to it. And those layers have to have certain collision stuff with it. And so players figured out where everything is located because it's a like a layer cake of a map, and then figured out how to get the game to push them through the floor all the way down. It is wild. I love when people do stuff like that to break games. Sorry.
That's okay. But I'm going to use this awkward segue moment to do a bit of actual Diablo 4 news. We held out as long as we could. Today, basically, we found out that this is the fastest selling game Blizzard has ever made. This is the game that has sold the fastest of all of them. Mm-hmm. They didn't give us an actual number, and I don't think they will for quite some time, because they don't actually know yet. There's sales that will have yet to go through. But in addition to this telling us that this is considering that Diablo 3 sold something like 3.6 million copies in the same period of time.
Yeah, not including the ones that were given for free.
Yeah, not including the ones that were given for free, just the ones they sold. So this one is most likely sold at least that many, and probably significantly more, because this one launched on at least two consoles. It's not on the Switch, guys. I wouldn't expect it on the Switch for a while, if at all. The Switch would explode. Let's not torture that poor device. It's not up to this, but we can run Skyrim. This game's a lot more complicated than Skyrim. Anyway, yeah, so since it launched on consoles as well, probably I'm gonna ballpark it now. I'm gonna say 5 to 6 million. That's gonna be my estimate until such time as they tell us, if they ever do.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 6 to 7.
Liz, you want to jump in on this?
I have no idea. That sounds like you're doing a math equation. I don't do math. I try to avoid it.
Well, they did say that there was how many millions of hours played in the
93
since the first, and this was as of this morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. So 9 o'clock Pacific.
It was 10,000 years of actual time. Like if you had yeah. many hours, it was 10,000 years. 10,000 years of Diablo 4 this week.
93 million hours combined since June 1st as of 9 Pacific daylight time today. That is a ton.
And then 10,000 years in the air, guys.
Yeah.
And it feels like it sometimes. But in addition to that, there's also been some news in terms of what they're going to do next. Rod Ferguson did an interview where he basically just said, you know, we're working on the first and second season, and we're working on the first and second expansion. So they're going to have, at least they're working on two expansions to this game right now. They have been for a while. I had a friend who doesn't know much about video games, but he really likes the Zelda games. Was like, who would put out any kind of big game in the month or two after a Zelda game? And I'm like, apparently Blizzard would do that, and they don't care. You know,
yeah, well, 93 million hours says, yeah, they were right.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. And it's like, you know, there's not a ton of crossover between the Zelda fan base, the hardcore ones who only play Zelda games, and the Diablo fan base that only play Diablo games. And
you know what's wild, and though, too? Those
who play both will just play both.
And the wild thing, too, is Diablo 4 still retains the pickup and drop off gameplay. So you don't have to sit there for 8 million hours. I mean, you can. I'm looking at Liz and Matt and myself. But like, you can just play for a half hour, walk away, go do something else, come back and play for another half an hour. So like, it's a lot easier to like pick up and do that stuff. Anyway, sorry.
No,
One thing about Diablo 4 that you really notice is how easy it is to get around. Like, y'all remember the days back in Diablo 1, Diablo 2, you had to carry around Scrolls of Town Portal until, like, so much of your inventory was Scrolls of Town Portal, or you had to walk to a waypoint to, like, use the waypoint and go somewhere. You'd have to fight through all these monsters and go find the nearest waypoint, and then you could go back to town. It's here, you press a button and you town portal back to town. You aren't carrying any scrolls. You just go back to town.
Yep.
And you can just pull up your map and click on a waypoint and you go there. It doesn't matter where in the world you are. Yeah. So it's very easy. And of course, when you do that, you have a town portal that will send you right back to where you were.
As long as you don't close the game. So if you just... Yeah. If you like, yeah. You need to leave for, if you're like, I'm playing, but I need to use the bathroom, you just town portal back somewhere and then just leave your character standing there, go to the bathroom, come back and just jump back through the portal and go again. One thing also I noticed, this is just a little tip for people who don't want to go all the way back to like one of the big cities, because that's your automatic town portal is usually the largest city in the area. And if you haven't found the largest city yet, sometimes it will actually just teleport you back to the largest city in a previous zone. But if you don't want to do that, but you do want to get out of a place, just go to the nearest waypoint you can find. Like if you're trying to get away from combat and you're like, I got to go. Just go to the nearest waypoint you can find. And then once you get there, you can look at the map at your leisure and go somewhere else. It's actually really great for letting you play. Considering it's an always on game, it's pretty great for letting you play as much as you want and then getting out of there. So yeah, I agree with both of you on that. But, you know, two expansions, that's cool. I am already like daydreaming of Skovos for reasons we can't talk about. But
I am super hyped to see where they take the story next. And I'm also really excited to be on Lore Watch this weekend and talk more about Diablo 4. And I'm looking forward to hearing Joe's take. I've heard part of Matt's take on the game. I'm looking forward to getting...
You've heard very little of
probably, me. Probably... A small part of your take, but I'm looking forward to getting all of this from both of you.
Don't worry. I have plenty of thoughts already. I have a notebook that I leave next to my, no joke. And this is not me trying to I'm fancy. I literally have a notebook next to my desk where like, if I find something in like a game I'm going through that I find interesting, I jot a quick note down so that I can talk about it later, specifically for these podcasts. I have pages of stuff from Diablo 4 that I'm like, yep, adding that to the list. Also, I just want more people to listen to the intro that I made because I'm really, really, really proud of that.
He worked hard.
It is super extra. It is, yeah. So listen to Lore Watch, but we are talking about Diablo 4 spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Play the game. Listen to Lore Watch.
Well, looping it back to not lore, so with the expansions, do you think we're going to get another class added like we did with Diablo 2 and Diablo 3?
Yeah, Diablo 3, they did that. Yeah, I definitely think that that's going to happen at least once.
Yeah, I absolutely think we're getting...
Do you think we're getting a shield class?
We have a shield class.
I think we have to get it. Well, necromancers can use shields.
Yeah. So, I just found out the shield drop for me, and I was looking at it like, what is this thing? Why is this here?
It's something me, a necromancer, can equip. I usually don't because it's not your highest damage option, but I can. Can if I want to.
Yeah, that's for the like the tanky necro builds, I think. Mm-hmm. Which I don't know why you'd do one, but sure. I mean, if I want to tank myself instead of having all my lovely bony friends do it for me. Sure, yeah, why not? But I definitely think they're going to. Having played this game, I am really interested to see if they try to do something like a paladin.
And yeah,
I think they will.
And here's the other one that I was thinking too. Like, what if we had a style of monk added back in as well? Because the game seems ripe for that, the way that they're going.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have those. They have monkish characters in the game, or as it stands. What's really interesting to me is like one of the things I keep talking to people about is like how you could basically take another stab at the witch doctor, but this time just make it the witch.
Yes,
and just really go in on that archetype.
Oh, people would lose their mind. I'd be all about it. Sorry, Liz. Yeah,
I think once you get into Act 5, you see where there are seeds there for different types of classes that you could conceivably jump into and build out into its own thing with its own little origin story in the game.
Well, also, yeah, I mean, witches in general have been around in Diablo lore from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. They're present in the story of Diablo 4 all the way around. Adria, I don't want to talk too much about it because I know that there is one in Diablo 4 in the Wastes. Like there's so many like witches that exist that having like a witch class would be just so good.
Yeah, and you could definitely like there was some awkward stuff with the witch doctor. I think we all know that.
Yep.
You could definitely get rid of that and just bring the stuff that was cool, like, you know, Reigns of Frogs,
you know,
that kind of stuff. You know,
fun fact, I'm sorry, this is a random aside, but I watched a documentary last night about the old D&D arcade games, the Mystara games. Mm-hmm. Did you know in the sequel that it wasn't originally supposed to be a sorcerer, it was supposed to be a witch?
Yeah, I did know that.
But they were like, yeah, nobody will play this. Change it. Yeah, witches. Sure. People want witches.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, so I definitely think they're going to, at least in one of those expansions, I would not be surprised if they did a different class in both. Like, you know, just because.
One at mm-hmm. one per, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing you can do with, like, with the seasonal rollout they're going to do, you can do smaller story bits as mm-hmm. seasons. Mm-hmm. And the big ones, like, I think if we get new continents or new lands to go to, that'll be in the expansions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it does.
Go ahead.
I mean, we know they're going to do seasons quarterly, so we're going to get a new season about every 3 months, and it will have new story content. But they could do really kind of small bite-sized stories. They could do side stories or, you know, small areas that they introduce. And you could have an expansion that's a large act-size story with its own side quests and side stories. That's what I would expect from an expansion, is an act-sized story. But I expect seasons will be smaller things. I hope they're pretty substantial, and Blizzard has been talking like they're going to be substantial, but they aren't going to add like a whole act worth of content in a season. They just aren't.
I feel like with seasons, you know, certainly you could go in and like put a new quest storyline in. You could do a lot of stuff.
Well, they talk about that a lot too, don't they? Where they talk about like adding more quests in and having them have meaningful arcs and things like that. So it's definitely on their radar.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plan for seasons, I think, is having these kind of expanded stories.
But we'll, you know, at any rate, good news if you liked this game, which I did. I mean, we all knew I was going to.
Wait, you said you did in past tense. Does that mean you're done with Diablo 4?
Liz, I feel like I've moved into Diablo 4. Like, I feel like I live in Sanctuary and I have to telecommute out to do this podcast with you. Quite honestly, liked is no longer even an appropriate word. Loved seems tepid and weak compared to what's happening, which is that I literally just, as Joe said earlier, I dream about this.
Yeah, it has invaded my dreams.
So, yeah, this is like the Tetris times 1,000. We don't have time for me to gush about all the stuff I really love about this game, but one of the things I love about it is that it doesn't do everything perfectly. There's some stuff that it is just not great at, but it accepts that. It doesn't try to do the stuff that it just can't do. There's a bit, I really noticed this when I was going into Act 5 and then past Act 5 and into the final act, is this game does not waste time with your motivation. Because this game knows that your motivation is fairly limited. It doesn't have to be anything special. You don't need to have a tragic backstory for your character. Everybody else can have a tragic backstory. Everybody else can have a motivation. Your character is there to hit things as hard as humanly possible with whatever they happen to have. Do they have an army of dead things? Then they're going to throw the dead things at it. Do they have the ability to turn into a bear? Then bear they shall be. And man, also playing a druid is super fun.
It is so satisfying.
One thing I think about this, it's interesting. In Diablo 3, every character had a little bit of backstory. I don't think Diablo 3 was amazing at character and story, but they did have a little backstory. And in Diablo 4, there's no backstory for all of them.
Yeah, a couple lines from the druid, but...
Yeah. But I think this has been done very intentionally to leave it up to you. This is the Diablo game that has more customization than any Diablo game we've ever seen. You get to completely customize the look of your character. Transmog, which was also in Diablo 3, it's gone up to a whole new level. We have a whole new level of transmog. You customize everything about your character, and you can also, what do you want your character's motivations to be? Where do you want them to come from? That's what you want. The game does not tell you, oh, your character had a horribly tragic backstory and this, and this is why they became an adventurer. You get to decide that yourself. And I think that's pretty good. On one hand, I'm split. Like, I sort of wish my character had more of a story, but it's kind of fun thinking, this is probably why I'm doing this. This might be where I came from. And just kind of, you get to tell your own story.
It also leaves it open that it could be one of those things that happens in the seasons where they introduce here's the origin of because the druid has, and again, I don't want to talk too much about it because we're going to talk about it on Sunday. But there's some weird tension in Skazglen when you're going around and learning about the druids that are there because you are not the same druid. And for the longest time, Diablo has portrayed the druids as being all from one sort of lineage, which they kind of are, but in Diablo 4, with the world being the way it is, there are different factions and sub-factions and splits of even within these groups that we thought we knew about.
Liz and I had a real debate about that today. I'm pretty sure that's going to come up on the Lore Watch because we were having a back and forth on what we thought that meant.
Mm.
But
I also have opinions. Surprising no one, I'm sure.
So many opinions. I'm like back here with the post-it notes on the wall and the yarn connecting them and screenshots and dialogue. Yeah, that's me these days.
I'm just seeing this image of that screenshot of Charlie Day doing the Pepe DeSalva stuff from It's Always Sunny, but instead it's like Liz.
But yeah, at this point though, we do actually have some questions and we actually have a little time to answer a few of them.
I think we should try.
Yeah. So as always, guys, if you have questions for the site, you can ask us in two ways. So this lovely podcast here. First is, of course, our Discord server. You can go to our Patreon Q and Podcast Questions channel if you're a patron and you get first crack at us. We go there first. And that's if you want to do that. If you want to try and if you're not a patron, but you still want to ask us a question, we absolutely love that. That's a way to engage and support us. And we're totally on board with that. You can go to the Q and Podcast Questions channel. And we didn't get any questions in there this week, but we did the other one. So cool. We also got an email this week, which is kind of rare nowadays. So quite frankly, thank you, person who emailed us. You can email us at podcast@blizzardwatch.com, subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch, so we know it's for this show. And I'm going to do something here. I'm going to spare these guys this week. I'm just going to read. I'm going to read various questions. I'm going to grab them and read them. Mm-hmm. First one is from Gavin, because Gavin asks literally thousands of questions.
Gavlin.
That's my bad. Sorry. Blizzard Watch question. It's Gavlin with another Diablo 4 question. The environmental storytelling in Diablo 4 is just so good, and I'm amazed at how much the world changes as the story progresses, not just via strongholds, which makes me wonder, will I somehow lose access to certain side quests or other story beats in a given zone if I progress the main quest too quickly? Come on, one of you.
The answer is no. No, you will not, though the quests may change slightly. I have done some side quests after I finished the main story, and also previously done them before I finished the main story. And sometimes you will get different dialogue if you've progressed past a certain stage. But the quest is still there. And I mean, I actually find some of them are very interesting if you do them after the main storyline. Like there is, there's one quest we were talking about in chat earlier today where you were told to go get this item and then, you know, come back and give it to me, except the character is not in the place that you originally met them, because the place where you originally met them is going to turn into something else later in the story. But that quest is still completely accessible, even if you didn't pick it up. The character has just moved somewhere else where you would go and pick up the quest. I think they've made a lot, they've taken pains to make sure that everything remains accessible, no matter where you are in the storyline. You can always go back and do side quests. You can do the first three main quests in any order you like, or jump back and forth between them if you like incomplete storylines going in different directions all at once. So yeah, I like the way they did that, and I like the way the quests change if you do them later, and the world changes after you have done certain quests and finished the main storyline.
Yeah, it's really interesting to go. I'll just say this: when you finish the main storyline and you go back to Kyovashad, you get some interesting responses.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's one of the really cool things about this game, that is, it's a lot more different than the other Diablo games, and I think adds a lot to like the investment in the world. And we talked about it before, where like in the previous Diablo games, the world was static. It never shifted. It just was what it was, what it was. Right? You moved through the world. Even after the game was done, the world didn't change. Towns that were destroyed were still destroyed. Towns that weren't destroyed weren't destroyed. And that was it. Here, you can bring strongholds back. You can change the landscape. You can affect the weather. There are some quests that will actually have you going through in dealing with things that are causing, you know, fog, or like the super snowstorm that's happening at one of them that I don't want to ruin too much of it, but it's tied to a small quest line that you can go and deal with. Like, and it changes the world for you. And I think that's really, really fascinating. And I think it makes it really engaging. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I don't think you should be worried about
thing,
that.
Yeah, one little thing I noticed is, you know, the time of day changes while you're in the game. And there's a quest in Act 3 that I'd done several times. And every time I did it, it had been night. And the latest time I did it, it was day. And I'm like, oh, wow, look at that view of the city. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just interesting. The world is constantly, it's dynamic around you.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't know how else to put this one, so I'll just say this. When you are completing your quests, the order you do them in does affect the quest sometimes. There's a specific quest in Skosglen where if you do this guy's quest first and then do this guy's quests, the second person makes snippy comments about the person you did the first quest for. But if you do his quest first, he doesn't even mention him. And when you do this, that guy, if you switch over and do the other guy, then he then doesn't make snippy comments, but he addresses what the other person said about the group of people that he is a part of. And it's really interesting because this happens a lot. The quests are dynamic in their responses. You get conversation options that are different if you did certain things. Like if you do Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, just in order, you get the ability to bring up, oh, this is what I did for that to the people in Act 3. But if you don't, like if you go straight from Act 1 and you don't finish Act 1 and just go straight to Act 3, which you can absolutely do, you're just like, yeah, I blew them off. Basically, and he's like, well, you got to go back there at some point, but never mind. We got stuff to do now. And it is really interesting to see how that all worked. So yeah, definitely don't worry about it, but do observe it because you get some cool stuff. You guys think we're ready for another question?
I think so.
Sure.
Okay. This one is from Geth. I think that's pronounced Geth. That's G-E-T-H-E. I'm going to go with Geth. Question for DiabloCast. Is there any indication that the sin you write down when entering the first city will be referenced later in the game? I don't think so.
Nope.
I think the only opportunity really that it would have is when you're having your conversation with the wolf, but I don't think it actually does.
I don't recall it ever getting mentioned. It's mentioned immediately. Like when you get back into town, Lorath is like, well, what'd you write on that thing? And then he tells you what you wrote on it. But aside from that, nah, it doesn't really seem to come up. But who knows? Maybe like in season one, it's gonna be a dang.
It's
going to
be some crucial story element.
Or maybe Lorath is right.
I mean, I think this was just a little story element that gave you a chance to kind of see a little bit of Laura's character. I think that was the whole point of it, is you get to go and you see, okay, Loreth is a stubborn old man who does what he wants and ignores everyone else. And also he is really pretty perceptive. He knows people.
Yep. That's for that one. Anything else before we move on?
Nope.
Okay. This one is also from Gavlin. This one, however, I mean, it's very important. So Blizzard Watch question, question about the real Diablo 4 endgame, transmog. In the lead up to release, the developers talked about distinct transmog specific to each region being available. I'm into Act 3 and I haven't seen any of that. Am I missing something?
I haven't seen any either, so I'm going to look at you two.
Well, the hat that I've got on right now, for instance, only drops in Act 5, I think.
I mean, you keep seeing additional gear. I haven't felt like any particular gear is thematically tied to the area I get it in, but you do keep, you know, you keep expanding your collection of gear. You don't get the same gear in every zone, but it doesn't feel really like, you know, you were saying, Matt, that the gear you're wearing on the stream is from Act 5.
This character's helmet, the Discharge, I believe it's either Act 4 or 5. It's in the Chaldeum area. There's specific, like the Iron Wolves. There's Iron Wolves looking pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And there's...
That is kind of Iron Wolfy.
Yeah, and then there's other pieces. Like, I think it's supposed to be like a lion hat on this character. But there's pieces that go with it. And the other problem is that every class... Like, I think gear is... It's like in Diablo 3 where the same piece of gear could be worn by multiple different classes, but they would look differently on them. I'm pretty sure this same outfit would look different if your necromancer was wearing it. Not that you'd want to wear some of it, because some of it, I'm pretty sure everything this character has is pretty barb specific, but nevertheless, there are pieces that you only get in certain areas, but it's not like a huge deal. It's actually more common for me to find horse armor in different regions. Like I keep getting barding for my horse. I think I'm up to 5 pieces.
I haven't gotten any horse armor. I really want some horse armor.
I've been getting it mostly in like specific dungeons. Like, you know,
more dungeons
on nightmare difficulty.
Yeah.
So I've got like 4 or 5 now.
I want it. I want it.
I also got like a severed head to put on the side of my horse.
Oh, well, sure. Why not?
Yeah. I quite frankly, I feel like my horse doesn't appreciate the severed head, so I don't put it there, but you know, but in general, there are definitely pieces that are unique. I don't know if it's as big a deal as complete sets, because quite frankly, I have not seen any sets as such yet.
Okay. There aren't sets like there were in Diablo 3, where you're collecting this very specific gear set that has very specific bonuses if you have it all.
Yeah.
But there are like matching transmog sets.
And oh, yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I think is interesting about the transmog sets is if you have them in their default colors, it's like there will be a whole set of gear that matches it perfectly in the default colors. And the default colors are, or at least they can be, completely different than the colors you can dye them to, or they have more or different color variations than you'll find in armor dyes. And yes, Diablo 4 has armor dyes like we had in Diablo 3. And they are magnificent. The dyes are so great. It's just like a single button you press to do this color dye for your whole armor set. Or you can customize each one, but it's so good.
If you're watching the stream right now, I just did that so you could see it. There's the color. You can do the whole thing. You can do it however you want to.
You can. It's taste the rainbow of transmog, and everything matches, unlike in World of Warcraft where there are 15 different shades of gold, and I'm always trying to find the different pieces with the same shade of gold that match and I can put together without driving myself crazy, because this one is slightly yellower than that one, because I will. No one else might notice, but I'll notice. I'll know. And it'll make me crazy.
Believe me, I notice, especially with green. Green is the worst, because there's so many pieces of green armor that are just slightly different enough that it won't match. And you're like, that's like lime green. I need a darker emerald green. Oh my God. And you spend the rest of my life going insane.
But yes, transmog, the true endgame. I've played the game through. I think I'm level 54 right now. And I have not collected all the transmog. Oh, yeah. I feel like I've been everywhere and done everything, and I have not collected all the transmog. There is so much.
Yeah, even with the weapons, which have fewer models than the armor, I haven't got all the weapon models yet at 53. And, I mean, there are people, I've seen people today who are, like, almost 70.
People have already hit level 100 in this game.
I'm sure they have.
Max level, and people are already there. We're being real slugs.
At the beginning of our podcast today, the Diablo 4 Twitter account literally posted that somebody hit that on hardcore, that somebody officially hit it, like, the first person to hit it. So, yeah, people are leveling like crazy.
But, yeah, I hope that answers your question. Like this one we're going to go with, the one I wanted to actually ask is it's super long and I'm not sure that we'd get through it in time. So I'm going to go with this one from Annabelle. Which game were you more excited for in 2020, Dragon Age Dreadwolf or Diablo 4? I was more excited for Diablo 4.
I was
so much more excited for Diablo 4 that I cannot convey that in words. I am partially fused with Infinity. I'm on a giant cat, and there are stars falling around me. That's how much I was into Diablo 4.
I'm going to say Diablo 4, and not just because I am super into Diablo 4 at this moment. I mean, I remember when we went back and we had these trailers, you know, Diablo 4 had the By 3 They Come trailer released towards the end of 2019, and that was just an amazing cinematic trailer setting up the story, showing us our big villain or, you know, unknown antagonist, and it was such a big exciting reveal. And in Dragon Age Dreadwolf, I believe 2020, they released that little teaser trailer with Varric had a little voiceover and it showed some shots. It didn't show any like actual gameplay. I find it very difficult to get excited with so little information, whereas Diablo 4 busted out with this huge, like, 8-minute cinematic trailer and blew us all away.
Yeah, I remember being, like I said before, it was at the BlizzCon that I got to go to, and I mean, I was sitting in the room, and we had no idea if they were going to even announce Diablo 4, because the previous year, everyone wanted it, and they didn't get the announcement. And so when the Diablo 4 trailer started, and it opens with that picture of a gravestone and the bell noise, and the air got sucked out of the room. Like everybody went quiet. And then it just started boom. And that whole bit with the guy getting left behind and then running further in, he's like, oh well, easier to divide by three. And it keeps going, and it just kept amping up. And the acting is like the terror of it. It's just, it felt like something by Lars von Trier or something. I honestly didn't feel like a video game cinematic. It felt like the opening of like a horror movie, like the weird ones that have been coming out, like Midsommar or something. It's like really seriously felt dark as heck. And that whole bit where she comes out of the, like, they use blood to get her back in the first place. And it's out of that bloody, like, call that she comes born out of.
Blood is the key.
Stretching back. Yeah, blood is the key. Blood's a big part of this game. Liz has an entire theory about it that I think is really interesting. But yeah, it really hit. And I want Dragon Age Dreadwolf to get that moment. I would love it if, like, at Summer Games Fest, they bust out like some super awesome trailer and maybe some gameplay. But I haven't seen anything like that in the time since it was first announced. Whereas Diablo 4 opened with that, and then since then they've been pretty... They haven't given us anything story-wise unless it was fairly basic, but they have given us a good deal of insight into how they were developing the game. Like, here's our dev water cooler. Here's our dev water cooler after we had to replace, like, you know, several people at the top of the team. Here's our new development water cooler, which talks about Paragon and what we're doing with that. So we've known the general trend of the game for a while. And as a result, it's done nothing but make me more excited. And at this point, I'm sitting here with it. I still kind of can't believe it's out. And it's been out for, like, you know, I've been playing it since last week. And I still kind of can't believe I've been playing it since last week.
I mean,
like,
officially, it was, as of the time we were recording this, it was officially released yesterday. But yeah. Yes.
So I guess that's it. Dot.
This is time on the dot. And, you know, sometimes we go long. Sometimes we drag on a little extra. But I don't know about you two, but
you're going right back into Diablo.
Diablo 4. Yeah. I am going right back to my PlayStation and firing up Diablo 4 as soon as I get off this.
Yeah, as soon as we leave, I'm just going to.
Well, you enjoy that. Out. I'm going to edit a podcast.
Yeah, well.
You can come play with us after you edit the podcast.
It's the danger of being the idol of millions, my friend.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joe's going to do a spiel now.
All right, folks. Well, Blizzard Watch is made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/BlizzardWatch. Your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, better chance at having your question answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you very much, Joe. Thank you to both Joe and Liz for being here. Thank you to all of you for being here. And thank you to me for being awake, because quite frankly, how did I manage that, staying awake when I wasn't playing Diablo? I mean, really, it's kind of nuts. This has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. Thank you, everybody, for your support and for being here. And we'll be back next week. Also, Lore Watch this weekend. If you're into Diablo lore, you definitely want to listen to it as soon as it comes out. I don't know when that will be exactly, but we'll be recording it on Sunday. So, Tyler, you're going to say something, Liz?
I believe it releases Tuesdays for Patreon supporters, so feel free to, you know, join over and join our Patreon if you want to get early access to it. And I think it's Thursdays for...
And Wednesdays for everyone else.
So there you go. But, you know, catch that. It's going to be awesome. We're going to get to talk about all the story stuff, and we're going
to
nerd
out. And you get to enjoy me talking about lore, which I don't usually do.
Yeah. But we're going to convert her somehow. But bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.